It is a privilege and an honor for me to be joined on the telephone from Cincinnati, Ohio, by Frank Banna, who will be honored with his name and number 39 being hoisted up into the rafters of what is now called Sastel Center. Of course, Frank, you know it as Saskatchewan Place because that's what the building was originally called way back when. And you played from 1992 through 96. What does this mean to you to get a chance to see your name and number be retired by the Saskatoon Blades?
Well, it's an absolute honor. You know, it's just unbelievable, you know, to find out that news. And now it's, you know, coming closer to the event and then seeing that, you know, being hung up in the rafters of Sastel. So, you know, it's a tribute not only to myself, but, you know, my teammates and coaches and everyone back in that era in my time. You know, it was so important, you know, at that age, you know, to develop and grow into a young man, but not only as a hockey player, it was just, you know, on and off the ice. And that's something, you know, the coaching staff, Lauren Mullican, Dave Charche, Jerome Engel, and, you know, Kenny Federko, and even Donnie Clark my last year, you know, that was just looking back at it. I was really fortunate and lucky, to be honest, to be able to put the Blade jersey on. And, you know, the values and life skills that I learned back then are still the same values and life skills that I go by in my everyday life now.
This is overdue, Frank, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you still hold the franchise records for goals total in a career, points in a career, and, of course, goals in a season. The magical 95-96 season in which you scored 83 times. Nobody is going to come close to that ever again, I don't believe, in a Blades jersey. I mean, the memories, is there a top one that stands out for you, or is it just, you know, a culmination of so many things that, as you were just mentioning?
Yeah, I mean, it was, I guess every year, right? Just my rookie year on, you know, being a part of the team and something great. You know, the team the year before went to the finals against Kamloops. So, you know, that was the values and the leaders there, like Ryan Fujita and Mark Wanton and these guys, you know, that was all instilled there. And, you know, coming into the team at that time, my rookie year, was very valuable, a lot of good memories. You know, from that season, I remember us, you know, being the Rebels on the first round of playoffs, and then moving into the second season. You know, that was the season we went all the way to the finals, Game 7 against the Blazers, where, you know, you looking back on it now, you see that Kamloops Blazers team was like a dynasty and kind of like an Edmonton Oilers back in that time, with the powerhouse they had. And we were just, you know, our motto was play for one another. And, you know, the harder you work, the harder it is to surrender. You know, we didn't have a overly skilled team like Kamloops with, you know, a lot of different horses in the lineup, but we were all just meat and potatoes and showed up to work. And then the third season was, you know, remembering from that season was actually the first time I'd hit the 50 goal mark, in the WHL. And, you know, it was something I remember. I remember promising my dad that summer, I'm like, hey, I'm going to score 50 for you this coming season. And actually saved him the stick, and he still has the stick today. And then, of course, the last season was, you know, as you said, a magical season. It was just our line and the chemistry we had with DL and Wilm, you know, which Clarkie and I, we'd always played together every year on a line, all 4 years. But then when us three got put together, it was just from the start of the season, it was fun. We just kept building up steam, and, you know, at no point in my mind was I thinking of records. You know, I was just thinking of scoring goals, which I like to do, and winning games for the club. And, you know, it's although DL will tell you, he's like, you should have had 100 that year. And maybe he's right, because I did miss a lot of empty nets that year. But, you know, one pivotal moment in my career that I'll never forget is breaking that record of Mr. Pinder's. And, you know, it was because I believe it was set back in 1964, 65. So it's been a while. And, you know, looking at all the great players that have come through the organization, you know, it was definitely an honor and something that I always carried through my career. And even when I, you know, had ups and downs into the pro side of things, you know, I always went back to those memories of Saskatoon and those values that I learned and life skills.
Who stands out amongst teammates? I mean, you mentioned Clark Wilm, was your line mate all the way along. You mentioned Mark DL, of course, who was your center. Anybody else who stands out as maybe being a mentor in your early days, or somebody that you still chum around with a little bit somewhere along the line, or that sort of a thing?
Yeah, I would say, you know, my first year, my roommate was Norm Miracle, you know, and Normie and I played a lot of ping pong games together, and I don't think I ever beat him once. But yeah, it was, you know, it was all new experience for me, you know, playing in Saskatoon and living with our billets there.
And who are they? Who are your billets?
Ray and Nettie Fenner was our billets then. And then the following season, I lived with Andy McIntyre, which was definitely a role model to me. Very hardworking player, you know, great skill, you know, draft pick to the Blackhawks. And, you know, that season he had signed a contract to go to Chicago. So that, you know, gave me motivation seeing what, you know, he had accomplished, and he accomplished it by hard work. But if, you know, if I had to pick someone out that really stands out in my mind, it's obviously Wade Bielak. You know, we were like best friends. We lived together for 3 years. We were like brothers, you know, even after we're done playing there, you know, we would visit each other. And, you know, he was, when I look back on it, you know, those, the 83 goal season, you know, everyone maybe remembers DL and Wilm and Corey Sarich and Pavel Kriz and, you know, these guys that were, you know, making great plays and giving me great passes. But Wade always comes to mind because he was such a team player, and I was like his little brother, even though he was younger. But, you know, I think people around the league knew that, you know, and as scary and tough as Wade was, you know, it actually bought me probably 5 more feet of room, which, you know, that goes a long way in the game of hockey. When you know, you got a little more room, guys aren't going to take any liberties at you or shots at you because they know, well, I don't want to answer to Mr. Bielak. But we had a special bond and a special relationship. So, you know, obviously I've been thinking of him a lot, you know, coming into this and getting prepared for everything on this weekend. So it'll be an exciting time and a lot of good memories, that's for sure.
Frank, I had the honor and privilege of being able to call 133 of your goals as a member of the Saskatoon Blade in your final 2 seasons with the team. And the 79th one, the one that broke Jerry Pinder's record, do you remember it at all?
Oh, I do. Yeah. I remember it because, one, I remember the celebration, and I look back and I'm like, what the heck was I thinking? But I remember where I got that celebration from. I'd never done it before. But I saw Mark Messier do it at practices when I used to go watch the Oilers. He would score and then go on his knees and twirl around. And And, you know, after I'd scored, I don't know, I wasn't thinking of what I was going to do, and I just did it. But it was, I remember clearly Wade was the first one there to grab me and hug me. And it was definitely a special moment, for sure. Then one I'll never forget.
You had, Frank, quite the career after being in Saskatoon. You did had some time in the National Hockey League. You played in the American League. But my goodness, you're all over Europe, it seems, playing hockey and playing internationally for Hungary. How the heck did that come about?
Yeah, well, I'd played in the Austrian League, probably the longest of all the leagues and stops I had over there. In my last four seasons were with the team in Hungary that was playing in the Austrian League. So I was kind of getting towards the end. I was probably on the 17th, 18th hole. You know, it's funny how, you know, it's your role changes. I was still like to score goals and tried to score goals. And, you know, was still producing at the end because I knew I had to, because that's the easy excuse. If you don't produce, it's, well, he's too old. Right.
Right.
But yeah, they had, Hungary had, had approached me, and our national team was majority of our team that played in the Austrian league. The team was Csekhovszeg, is the name of the team. So it was a lot of good friends, and it was, as my role changed too, as more of a leader and you know, helping more of the young guys. When they approached me on it, you know, basically to help their national team, it was me and another guy, another Saskatchewan boy, actually, Andrew Sarauer, who was my center in, which was very similar to DL, could find me, you know, unselfish player, look to pass for shoot, you know, which is, I was always a shooter. And we said, absolutely, you know, we would do it. And I think at that time I was 39, and they'd got us our citizenships about, 3 weeks before the tournament. They were playing in the Pool B at that time. And we went there and had a good tournament and qualified to move up to Pool A. And I thought, well, heck, I'm going to have to play another year, which I did. And it was a great experience and a great way to go out at 41 years old, you know, playing against Team Canada with players like McDavid on there, and Team USA with, like, Austin Matthews and Team Finland with, you know, Timo Laine and all these great young and up and coming stars. So it was a great experience, and it was something that, you know, after that it changed hockey in Hungary. You know, they started to build more ice facilities because of it. It, you know, created more of a buzz in the country. So it was fun to be a part of that, of you know, I guess you could say giving back to the game. And that's why that, you know, they always say that hockey's the greatest game on earth and the hockey players are the greatest people, because it's, you know, they always stay humble and always look to give back to the game.
You're a goal scorer and a pioneer. Look at that, Frank. That's outstanding. That's a great story, and I appreciate it. And we could go on and on and on, but I'm not going to keep you on that. We'll talk more, and we'll see you on the weekend. I look forward to it. But before I let you go, I have to ask, because people will be asking, your life now. You're in Cincinnati. What are you doing, and what kind of family do you have?
Yeah, so after I retired from playing, my wife is from Kentucky, so we live in Kentucky, but we're actually really only a few minutes from downtown Cincinnati. The river that runs through downtown Cincinnati, one side's Ohio, one side's Kentucky. So, you know, I retired from playing. My wife was not, you know, wanting to go north at any means. She's not one of the cold, and follow me around in ice rinks in Europe for 12 years, I think, was enough. But yeah, we So we have a daughter. My daughter, actually, I just had my first grandchild 2 weeks
Good
ago.
For you.
And then she's older. And then my two boys, or our two boys, they're 13 and 12, both playing hockey, both, you know, enjoying the game, love it. They're really excited to get back to Saskatoon and see it. And you know, from all the stories I've told them. But yeah, now here I run, I'm the director of the youth hockey operations here with the Cincinnati Cyclones. And it's a program that recently started, and I came on board with them and in January. And at that point they had around 38 kids involved in the program. And so in about a year, we're projecting around over 500. So it's really grown, which is great. And that was the plan, was to grow the game here in Cincinnati and grow it under the, you know, the Cyclones brand. So our ownership group is invested and dedicated to doing that. And, basically gotten me kind of leading the charge, I guess, which is different on this side of the fence than obviously playing, but I'm enjoying it. It's, you know, hockey's my passion, my love. It always has been and always will be. So, I still get out on the ice with the kids usually every day, you know, with coaching. I try to at least touch the ice with all the kids in the program at least one time a week, which is fun. You know, it's just seeing their smiles on their faces. And then actually last night was one of our last practices, so I decided to suit up with everything on, which they got a kick out of. Yeah,
well, they found out probably that from 20 feet in, there was nobody better at scoring goals than Frank Banham. Absolutely. That's the way I remember you. That's for darn sure. Frank, thank you for this. It's outstanding. I look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely, Les. I look forward to seeing you as well, and thank you for everything.
Oh, I didn't do a whole bunch, trust me, but you have, and that's why they're honoring you. So look forward to the weekend, and take care. Safe travels, Frank.
Yes, thank you, Les. Appreciate it.